If you have your Bibles this morning, you can go ahead and open up to 1 Samuel. And we're continuing on with our praise series. Let's say it together. Power released after I start expecting. Now, this is a story we didn't go over the first time we did this series. And when I was praying about it, the Lord sent the name Hannah. And I said, Lord, what? I remember her song after she had Samuel, but I didn't remember praise before. And he said, look it up. And so I said, okay, I'm going to look it up. And guess what? Praise is involved. Somebody say amen. So most of you know the story of Hannah. It was back in the days where they were allowed to have more than one wife. We don't do that anymore, and there's reasons for it. And this is one of them. So we had, Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah, and he had Peninnah. And Peninnah was able to have children, and Hannah was not. So we have a rivalry. That's why we have one wife and one husband, okay? So there's no rivalries, amen? Anyway, and so the story goes on. She had no children, and Peninnah would often provoke her about it, okay? So if you have something that's more than someone else, don't do that. That's just not right, amen? And if somebody has something more than you have, guess what? You should rejoice with them. Why? Because if you rejoice with someone else, then God sees your heart and says, oh, I'm going to bless them too. Amen? So we see that they go each year to offer their offerings to the temple. And Elkanah would give each wife their portion. But to Hannah, he would always give a double portion. He felt bad. Okay? He felt bad that she had no children. But how many people know feeling bad for someone doesn't change things? Are you listening to me this morning? Feeling bad about your situation or someone else's situation doesn't help anyone. And if you go on to verse, I'm just kind of paraphrasing here. If you go on to, let's go to verse 8. Oh, wait, let me go back to verse 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that Peninnah provoked her. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He's a great husband. He's trying to help her through this season of her life. So Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So what's she doing here? She's crying out to the Lord. But she's also naming her seed. She's naming her seed. She just didn't say a child. What'd she say? A male child. And if you will give me this male child, I will give him back to you. So we see that she's crying out to the Lord and she's naming her seed. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart and only her lips moved. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So he said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Until what? Until now. In the past, I have spoken of my grief until now. Then Eli answered and said, now listen to the word of the Lord. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So she went away, she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now listen to this next verse. Then they, who is they? Hannah, Elkanah and Peniah and her children rose early in the morning and they worshiped before the Lord. They worshiped before the Lord. They worshiped before the Lord. She wasn't grieving anymore. She put her grief away because she had a word from the Lord. And that word said, you will have what you asked of me. When you begin to praise, it brings to pass the things that the Lord has spoken over your life. Was she pregnant at this point? No. Did she have any signs of a child? No. There was nothing, absolutely nothing, other than the word of the Lord. She was able to worship based on the word. Are you listening to me this morning? It doesn't matter what it looks like in your life. If you have been believing the Lord for something, and it may be something like Hannah, you've been believing for a long time. Listen to me. People might have made fun of you for what you're believing for. People might have teased you and said, that can never happen. No, not you. That's not you. It may be a dream that you've put away because it seems so impossible. I'm here to tell you today, cry out to the Lord, name your seed, wait for the word of God, and then worship. Then worship. And then what happens? We know. We know what happens. Less than a year later, she's holding a son. She's holding her promise. Amen? And she keeps her promise. See, that's the thing. Sometimes we tell the Lord, well, if you just give me this, I would. And then he gives you that, and you wouldn't. Or you don't. Or you forget. Don't do that. It says, when you make a vow to the Lord, you keep it. Amen? But the point of this is she was able to go in and worship the Lord after she had her word. Now, sometimes the word will come to you with someone standing up or someone coming up to you and saying, I have a word for you. But can I tell you something? You don't even need that. You have a Bible. At least you should. If you don't, come see me after church. And it's filled with God's words for you. So often, Christians, they look for someone to tell them something about their lives. Can I tell you something about your life? Put it in the Word. You are adult Christians. You are not babies. You're not infants. And yes, it's great to get a word from the Lord. I love when that happens. But you know what? He gives you a word every time you open the Word. And he can show you things and he can reveal things to you to put away your grief, to put away your sorrow. I sorrow no more. Why? I have a word. I have a word. I have a word. Are you listening to me? And how many times had she gone to the temple prior to this? How many times? It says year after year after year. They went every year to the temple to worship. So how many years did she not cry out? Did she not ask? How many years did she not tell the Lord what she wanted? How many years? And how many years did the Lord say, Hannah, just ask me, girl. Just ask me. We hold back our blessings sometimes because we don't ask. Well, I don't deserve that. No, you don't. I could never have that. Well, if you keep talking like that, yeah. Because we don't deserve what God gives us. That's mercy. But if we don't open our mouths and declare what it is we're dreaming about, what it is that we're looking toward, what it is that we're hoping for, it will not come to pass. Are you listening to me? Because that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But if you don't declare what you're hoping for, you have no seed. Are you listening to me today? It may seem crazy what you're asking the Lord for. And I say, crazier the better. Because if it's not you that can put it to pass, then that means it's the Lord. Amen? And once you have your word, you don't sorrow anymore. You don't grieve anymore. You don't look back anymore. You worship the Lord and you praise him for the word he's given you, and you look forward in expectation that that thing will happen. And these are the last days. Listen to me, church family. These are the last days. I believe things are going to be happening quickly because time is short and there are things that need to be done. So you need to be saying what God has put into your heart, the dreams and the visions. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. You got to open your mouth and speak it. You have to declare it. Amen? He gave you his word to declare. And just like Hannah, you can praise. Because you know, power is released after I start expecting. Thank you. Hannah started expecting until Hannah was expecting. Pretty awesome. Think about that. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, we just praise you for this word. And I pray for every Hannah in this room. Every spiritual Hannah in this room. That there are things that you have been waiting for, longing for, desiring, that have not come to pass. Well, you came into the house of the Lord today, just like Hannah did. And today we give you, Lord, the things that we're looking for. We give you the grief and the sorrow of what we've watched in the past, and we say, until now. And as of now, we choose to take the word of the Lord that came forth today that says, take hold of that word and expect until you're expecting. And then, Father, I praise you for the visions and the dreams and the signs and the wonders that are birthed in the lives of every person in this room today. And I thank you, Father, that those things are for such a time as this. This is the hour. This is when the Samuels are needed, right now in this time. And that's what they are. Those dreams and those visions that you've had, they're Samuels. They're prophets that are coming to pass in this day to give glory to God, that the world will look and go, whoa, look what God has done. And I thank you, Father, for touching everyone's finances, everyone's seed that they're sowing today. I thank you, Father, they don't walk out of here with that same heaviness. They don't walk out of here with that same grief, sorrow, disappointment. I thank you, Father, they walk out of here in worship. They walk out of here in praise. They walk out of here in expectation of what God is going to do in their life. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it today. In Jesus' mighty name, I praise you in advance, Father, for the signs and the wonders. I praise you, Father, these last days, God, that things are going to happen quickly. But I pray, Father, we would be just as quick to give you the glory, to give you the honor, to give you the praise. And Lord, we just rejoice in advance for all of the things that are going to be birthed this year. We praise you for them in advance. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen.
Well, let's pray over this message and we'll get right into it because God's got something for us today like he always does. That's one of the ways I know that I'm called to do this is because there's never a week that comes where there's not something the Lord puts in my heart to share with you. If that ever happens, uh-oh. Because to many people, that would be a problem. Right? I have to get up there every Sunday from now till that. I mean, when we started this church, when Jesus started this church in 2012, that was probably one of the scariest days of my life. Where I stood up in front of a group of people and realized, I don't know where this ends. I'm saying yes, I'm starting, you know, like, you know, when you start the Olympics are going, but Summer Olympics when you run, you know, and the marathons where they just keep going and going and going and going. It was like, wow. But every week, he puts something in my heart to tell you. And that's how I know there's more. Glory to God. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word you have for us today. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to each one of us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And we tell you, Jesus, we are committed to going for gold. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody, I'm going for gold. We are going for gold. And the foundation text has been 2 Timothy chapter 2. It looks like if you scroll down to the through the notes there, we're going to eventually actually turn to Philippians chapter 3. So if you just are hankering to turn somewhere in the Bible, let's be Rick Renner. How many of you brought your Bibles with you to church? Lift it up. Yeah. Well, he came and we saw him in person a few years ago, and it was not much bigger of a room than this. What a blessing that was. And I was sitting probably right about where Rose is over there. And he's like right here. And I hadn't brought my Bible. I left it at home. And somehow he knew I was a minister too. He just sensed it. He asked me later. He's like, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And he just grabbed me and said, bless this man's minute. Oh man, it felt like electricity went through me, man. But he always does that. He'll say, who brought your Bible, right? And then he'll tell people that raised, how many of you have an electronic Bible? And people hold up their iPad or their phone. And he'll say, well, you know, if a meteor hits this planet, those won't work. So bring, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're eventually going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. But we'll start here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I would again encourage you just to be reading that chapter like every week, 2 Timothy chapter 2, because really this whole message comes from that. And it's called Go for Gold. I haven't gotten to see much of the Olympics yet because I was celebrating anniversary. But I'm definitely going to be plugging in and watching some Olympics this next week. But in a great house, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, somebody say cleanses himself, right? From the latter, which of course would be wood and clay, right? He will be a vessel for honor, which will be silver and gold, right? Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody Jesus looks at and says, there's somebody I can use. Because apparently he can't say that about everybody. Right? There's some that he'll look at and he'll go, you know what? That's my son, but he's just kind of useless. I can't do anything with that guy or that gal. Right? And so many Christians would say things like, well, the Lord created me to be a wood vessel, a clay vessel. Well, no, actually, I created myself to be a wood vessel or a clay vessel. It says it right here. It says, I choose. Somebody say, I choose whether to be a vessel of honor or dishonor. And I don't think anybody in this room would disagree that it's sure better to be a wood or clay vessel and be in the house than not be in the house at all, right? Now, that's somebody ought to say hallelujah for that, right? I mean, there's people that get to heaven and they're just glad they made it. Right? Maybe they said a prayer at a funeral somewhere. Or they said a prayer with a television evangelist. But from there, they never did anything else. Didn't really change, didn't really make Jesus Lord of their life. But praise God, they're in the house. They made it. And that's wonderful. But I want to be somebody that Jesus can actually use. That he looks at me and says, now there's a useful son or useful servant. Amen? But the main concept to get here is that I choose to be that person. He doesn't choose that. I choose that. I choose whether I'm going to cleanse myself, of being wood and clay and commit myself. I guess it's the two C words, cleanse and commit. Be cleansed of things I know God doesn't want me involved in, and commit myself to those things that I know He does want me involved in. Hallelujah. It's like these Olympic athletes or these Super Bowl athletes today. They had to wash themselves of anything below average, of anything lazy, and commit themselves to the track to success. Hallelujah. Amen. And this chapter talks about the grace of God, right? And how many know it is about the grace of God, and the grace of God is throughout the Bible. No matter if you're gold, silver, wood, or clay, we all rely on the grace of God. This Jesus did it all. Somebody say, He did it all for me, right? He did the work. And last week we talked about the school analogy, because I was never a straight-A student, but occasionally there would be a teacher that would say, well, this class tends to be a little more challenging for everybody, and me, a guy like me, oh, great. Even harder than normal, right? So then he would continue to say, so therefore, we're going to be grading on a curve, which means the person that does the best in the class, everyone else's grades will go up on a scale. So if the best person in the class is a B-plus student, then hey, there's hope. But of course, there was always that kid that everybody knew was a 4.0 or 3.95. It was like, that's pretty much a useless curve then, right? But Jesus, how many know Jesus is the gold standard? He is the gold standard. And He is the perfect student, never sinned, died and rose again. And so everything that I ever do for Him is wrapped up in that package, right? So in other words, God the Father looks at Steve and He says, you know, son, everything you ever do, all you have to do is accept what Jesus did. It's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about what my son Jesus did. And if you just put your faith in what He did, then you will have a perfect score. Perfect. Somebody say perfect. But see, a lot of believers get the notion that because Jesus is in my class, I therefore don't have to do anything. Don't even have to show up to class. Don't even have to try. Don't even have to put any effort out. Don't have to change. Don't have to live for, after all, Jesus did it all. This is the grace credit card. I'm just going to skate. Now, that's not the kind of person that God will look at and say, useful. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going for gold. Going for gold means we're putting effort into this thing. Amen. We're choosing to live for God. We're choosing to not do things the Word says not to do and do things the Word says to do. Hallelujah. To love the Lord our God with all our heart. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27 is a race analogy. And it says this, do you not know, and we're using the Apostle Paul a lot, because he's a great example, right? And back to Rick Renner, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland in the part of the ministers' conference they had recently, and he was introducing Rick Renner, and you know how Brother Copeland sometimes will go on for 20 minutes introducing somebody, right? They've had a lot of experiences over their life. But he was talking about how they were getting the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts delivered to Russia. And this is back in the day where there wasn't all the internet stuff and all that. So they had to literally take tapes and transport them throughout Russia. And Rick Renner was the vehicle to do that. And he said there was one particular time where he was waiting for a plane to take off. And over there, I can't remember exactly where, but they don't have the same standards in air travel. So like they'll pack the plane as full as they can and they don't care what it weighs. And Brother Copeland, being a pilot, was talking about how dangerous that is. And there was one particular time where they were doing all of that, and then the plane was iced over, and they were backing a truck back and forth into the nose of the plane trying to knock the ice off. And Rick Renner refused to get off the plane. He's like, I got to deliver this word to this place to get these people some freedom. Get them Jesus, right? And they said that it was so froze over that they could never even take the landing gear up after they left. You know, so he was talking about how Brother Rick was a lot like Paul and that he risked his neck to get this gospel preached. Now, that's a gold standard believer, if you ask me. Someone who's willing to lay their life down for the gospel, to get this gospel preached, right? So Paul is speaking here, and he says, do you not know, verses 24 through 27, 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. But I thought Jesus did it all. Somebody say, run in such a way that you may obtain it. How many know there are rewards in heaven? There are performance awards in heaven. Amen? That 7-year period after the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ, where there will be awards passed out for people who, you know, did what they were supposed to do in this life. It's not going to be a time of playing all the bad stuff, right? It's going to be a time of celebrating all the victories. Glory to God. So your efforts are, somebody say, my effort is important. Amen. I don't need to be a closet Christian and hide till the rapture. Right? Amen. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So it's even really at another level for ministers and teachers, and you know, that they wouldn't get into their accolades. Well, I'm qualified. All that other stuff doesn't apply to me because I've got all these doctorate degrees and all this stuff. No, that's a spooky place to be, right? Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I found 6 words to focus on, and we've been taking one every week, that do also apply to athletic events. And I know not everybody's into athletics. A lot of people today may care less about the Super Bowl. Could care less. That's fine, right? One of a good friend of mine told me that Super Bowl Sunday is his favorite day of the year to go fishing because there's nobody out there. So hallelujah. And granted, there's a lot more things, a lot more important than sports. But a lot of us enjoy it. So what, right? But this message is designed to kind of bring that parallel to competition, athletically, and competing for, you know, going for gold with God. Hallelujah. And the first word we talk about was strength. And these are words that I see clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Strength, somebody say strength. Endurance, we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about mindset, study, pursuit, and humility. Glory to God. So mindset. Today I want to hone in on the mindset of a champion. Glory to God forevermore. And I have a few quotes here. I kept the slide up here of Vince Lombardi. The Super Bowl trophy is named after Vince Lombardi. He won the first 2 or 3 Super Bowls. Green Bay Packers coach. And just as synonymous with football and Super Bowl and championships and all of that, right? And leadership, really. He would start every season in training camp with all these NFL players that have been playing football forever, and he would hold up the football. Here we go. Thank you, Paul, for bringing this in, you guys. He would hold up he would go, gentlemen, this is a football. And he would start with the very basics of blocking and tackling and discipline, right? But one of his quotes that really applies to what we're talking about today is, He says, it's not whether you get knocked down, but whether you get up. That's the mindset of a champion. Doesn't mean you're never going to have any difficulties. Anybody that ever says the faith message is about there are no difficulties, that's a lie. That's a lie. I've really loved watching this past week Believer's Voice of Victory with John Copeland and Kelly Copeland, Kenneth Copeland's son and daughter. Man, hearing some of the things they've all been going through, right, in their lives. Miss Gloria is, you know, doing better. She's had the brain injury from years ago and has taught the word for years and years and years. And she's had some health issues as she ages, but she's doing a lot better, they say. So hallelujah for that, right? But just some of the challenges that the whole family has gone through over the years. This is the faith message is not a message that everything's just going to be roses and easy throughout your life. That's just not true. And John even said, and I so appreciate him because he actually left for a while, for several years. He went to real estate, and he said himself, he goes, I had a Job experience. He goes, but the difference was I brought it on myself. Nothing was working for me. And he chose to come home, right? And it's just so great to hear. These are real people, right? And Sister Kelly talking about some of the, she's had multiple divorces in her life, just tragic things that have happened with marriage and this kind of, in Christian leadership, guys, right? The faith message doesn't say there'll never be any challenges in your life, right? And she shared about even, she had a grandson in the past several years, I don't know exactly when, die drowning in her swimming pool. Unthinkable things, tragic things. And I was talking to Shelley about this, and I was like, you know, just watching these people, a lot of people would have quit a long time ago. But they just keep showing up. They just keep showing up. They just keep speaking for God. They just keep getting after it. And I can't help but respect that. And it teaches me this is faith. Faith does not stay down. Faith gets back up again and again and again and looks for somebody else to encourage. Glory to God. Because I think we've had, even in the multiple years we've had this ministry going, we've had some, not a lot, but some people come into this church just thinking like Kenneth Copeland was going to be here himself. And that'd be wonderful, yes. But you know what I mean? It's like they had a certain perception of what the faith life is all about. And they left disappointed. And criticism in some ways, criticizing. So it's easy sometimes to watch something on television or on the internet, but when you want to plug into an actual church where there's actual humans that you have to interact with, to some people, they just can't take it. Why? Because they're wood. They're clay. And sometimes when I think of wood and clay, I think fake. Fake. Right? Gold and silver, pure. Wood and clay, fake. It'll burn. Right? It'll melt. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Right? So faith rises. Somebody say faith rises. Yeah, no matter what the devil, and I sent an email. I've got somebody that's been reaching out to us that's kind of on the inner circle there. It's just a favor of God thing. And he texts me now and then. He sent me the minister's conference. And I'm pretty sure he probably can directly talk to the family. And I sent him a text, and I told him what a blessing it is to hear them talking this week and being so candid, and how it's so inspiring to hear, you know, some of the things the devil's tried to do, and yet they just keep coming. And I wanted him to know that inspires me to keep coming, to keep rising. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Mary Lou Retton, all right? Now, who has not heard of Mary Lou Retton? I mean, really, 1984 Olympics, gymnast, right? She's a believer also, right? She said this, each of us has a fire in our hearts for something, It's our goal in life to find it and keep it lit. I'm telling you this, the mindset of a champion knows how to get lit and stay lit. Stay lit for Jesus. Stay on fire for God. Somebody say, I'm going to stay lit. That's what people that go for gold do. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Nick Saban, the multiple championships in college football, he said this. One thing about championship teams is that they're resilient. No matter what is thrown at them, no matter how deep the hole, they find a way to bounce back and overcome adversity. Do you know the devil? The Bible calls him the adversary. Because everything the Bible says, everything it represents, he is adverse, opposite. And he's going to try to make it look that way to you. Try to make it look like your faith must not be working because you got all these problems, you got all these issues, you got all, and you accuse, 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 accuse. But people that love Jesus and are plugged into God and are lit and stay lit, that just goes off them like water off a duck's back. Praise the Lord forevermore. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, this is the mindset scripture specifically. And I love, you know, in sports, some people, you don't even need to use their last name. Like if I said professional basketball and I just said Michael, LeBron, you know who I'm talking about. Tiger, golf, right? In football for me, Joe. There's a couple of Joes, but I'm talking about Joe. I couldn't wear his jersey today so as not to offend certain people, but... Right? And in the spiritual realm, you just say, Paul. You know exactly who we're talking about here, right? So Paul said this, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. He says, I mean, we're reading a lot of his writings here, right? And he says this, remember, somebody say remember, right? That's a mindset word. That Jesus Christ of the seed of David, another champion, I mean, you just say David. You know who you're talking about. You walk around. I mean, you could be talking to Israelites hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years after David, and you just say, well, it's like David. Everybody knows who you're talking about, right? Did David have to overcome adversity? Oh, yeah. Did he have to overcome his own issues? Oh, yeah. Now, see, that's the difference between gold and silver and clay and wood, too. That doesn't mean there's no issues, no impurities. But the gold and silver people, they dealt with the issues. They didn't deny the issue. They didn't cover up the issue. They didn't embrace the issue. They didn't make excuses for the issue. They repented of the issue and got rid of the issue and became gold and silver. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody in heaven today that hadn't had to overcome some kind of issue. I don't know about you, but Steve, I can just say Steve. And I know who I'm talking about. Steve is my biggest issue. And I love Steve. Because everywhere Steve goes, I go. We've gotten accustomed to being around each other. And I just have to keep redirecting Steve back to the Savior. Back to Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Amen, right? Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. Steve needs to hear that often, yeah. But he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He's talking about his inspiration is Jesus Christ raised from the dead. So therefore, why should I ever quit? Jesus himself overcame death. And he said, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And the word remember means... In the Greek, to be mindful of, to call to mind, to think of, to hold in your memory, to keep you in your mind, to make mention of it, talk about it. You know why we'll overcome this? Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. There was a dear friend of ours from New Beginnings back in the day that died, went to heaven. Dear sweet lady, she evidently, I heard, maybe got hit by a car somewhere. And just tragic. And she used to lead some of our, she was on the praise team at New Beginnings a number of years. Sharon Simpson. I don't know if anybody know Sharon, but she went to heaven. May God just embrace her and welcome her home. But she would lead a part of the gospel, you know, up in the praise team in the choir. I was in the choir back then, and just we were a big old team, big family. But there was one song that she would sing, and she sang it the day that we brought Lacey home for the first time. And it was a miracle that Lacey was here, right? And the song that Sharon was leading was called "Jesus Be a Fence Around Me Every Day." Jesus be with me as I travel on the way, right? And what a glorious song to hear that right before we testified about Lacey, right? And she would do the right and the left and the front and the back, right? And I just knew when I heard that report, I just knew even no matter how it looks, no matter how it sounds, Jesus was right there with Sister Sharon, a fence around her, even though the car got through and she's with Jesus right now. I know it was absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because that's the covenant we have. He is the gold standard. He is faithful to his word. And death has, and that's what Paul said here. Remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So if you know anyone that's dead, as believers, they're really not dead. They're very, very, very much alive. Hallelujah. And this is the hope we have in Jesus. And that's the mindset of a champion. Even death doesn't win. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, we'll close with this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. And again, this is Paul. Paul is one of our great examples of the mindset of a champion. And it's interesting because Paul was so adamantly against the church. That's why we have to watch in the times we're living in that we don't hone in so much on people, because Jesus can change the person. If they just get saved, I mean, we've seen that over the past several years where people we thought would never all of a sudden are outspoken for God. And on the other hand, people that we thought would never are outspoken for the devil, it seems like. It's like, what in the world? Right? Amen. Well, listen to this. Verses 8 through 17 here. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Somebody say, in him. Not having my own righteousness, here we go. This is the mindset of a champion right here. So listen. Somebody say, listen, right? Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. This is what's so great about athletes when they win the championship and they instantly want to give glory to God. And others make it sound like it was all about them. Oh, we prepared and we worked and we're well coached and yada, yada, yada. Well, that's just going to burn. That's wood and clay. But the ones that get up there and say, Jesus put me on this planet and gave me those skills, and I just want to, before I say anything, I'll answer your question, but before I say that, I have to start with, thank you, Jesus. And my mom, maybe they'll say their mother, or, you know what I'm saying? That's honor. That's someone God can use. Hallelujah, right? Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Now see, one of the things I heard Dr. Avery Jackson say this past week, the born-again neurosurgeon, he said, God is about spirit, soul, and body. And he said to walk in good health, in divine health, and the health that God intended, one of the key factors every human being needs is a sense of purpose. If someone is walking around with a sense of no purpose for their life, they'll be a lot more susceptible to sickness and disease and depression and all the crazy stuff that's coming on the world because they feel like they have no purpose, right? And I was meditating on some of these things, and I think a lot of people, including myself over the years, have gotten into my purpose, meaning like my vocation or my gifts or, you know, my talents. You know, how many know all these guys that are playing in these games today, in a few years, they'll be just yesterday's news. One commentator in sports radio, he likes to say, Father Time is undefeated. Where'd Michael go? You look at the NBA's, when they're talking about the Lakers anymore, they don't put LeBron up there. It's the guy that came from Dallas. What's his name? Huh? Luka, yeah. Because why? Because LeBron, Father Time is taking effect. Right? Whether it's, you know, even for those of us in ministry, if our purpose, we think, is to come up and preach a message and, you know, and see a bunch of people and talk about the glory, that can become almost like, that's why I'm on the planet. Or it could be a business thing, or even relationships. What, you know, Shelly and I were talking about this yesterday while we were driving on our anniversary. And we were talking about that sense of purpose. And I was like, honey, you know what? If even in marriages, if I look at you as like my all in all, and I said, you know, one of these days, one of us is going to be the first to go to heaven. So if you're looking at me like I'm your all in all, or I look at you like, that's going to be even harder then. Right? But Paul made it crystal clear here. Our purpose is this. Paul said this. My purpose is this, that I may know him. That is the mindset of a champion, church. Not to be successful in a ministry or successful in a business or successful in this or that or the other thing and make that all about my great purpose. No, my great purpose is that I know Jesus every day. Because all these other things, over time, they change. I used to use a camcorder. And my children's first years, from birth to, I don't know how old, but are all on little Hi8 video reels. But over time, they started getting phones. And now they have their own capacity to make videos. And over time, you notice we change. They've changed. They're not little babies anymore. They're becoming adults. And I started noticing, man, I'm changing, right? My dog changed. How many know we are constantly in a state of change? So if it's all about my job, if it's all about my income, if it's all about how much stuff I got, if it's all about my relationship or my giftings and talent, what I'm good at. I used to be one of the best baseball players in my school. We had one of the best outfields in our conference. I was proud of that. But no more. I love playing center field. I can run down ball, dive, chase them down, steal doubles from people. But now if I'm standing out there in center field, my mind knows what we should do. I told my dad the other day because he loved playing ball too, right? And I remember as a little kid watching them play softball. You know, in softball, the bases are closer than baseball, right? And I remember thinking, wow, that's a long way. And my little legs will take me. And then I had my whole baseball career. And now that I'm 54 and I watch these guys, again, I'm thinking, man, that's a long way to first base, right? Because things are constantly changing. But you know what doesn't change? Our relationship with Jesus. Always and forever, priority one. If that's our purpose in life, you will be a gold vessel. Because we don't get distracted with things that are changing. Hallelujah. Amen. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say, I press on. No matter how old we are, somebody say, keep pressing on. There's something else Jesus has you here to do. And I know it's not to go play center field at Barlow High School. And they don't want me anymore. Right? But there's something else for Steve to do in this world. What is it? First and foremost, know him. Everything that we'll ever need will flow from him in our relationship with him. Right? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting. So while we're remembering and being mindful of some things simultaneously, that also means there are some things that we're forgetting about. How many guys that watched the football game today are stuck in their success as a high school football player and how I should have been there, but the coach, all these excuses, that guy held me back and I had an injury, and they'll just be reminiscing, grieving over someone else's success, coveting really, what other people are achieving, that they feel like they, and it's all the glory days. I had, years ago, I reconnected with a buddy from school, and very good athlete. I was amazed. He was still driving exactly the same car. Not the same car, same type of car that he had in high school. Eating McDonald's. He wanted to go to, like a high school. And everything was about the sport that he loved. Everything. And talking about girls he used to date. And this, I'm like, holy smokes, man. Am I in a time warp? We started talking, and it was like, we were talking about old times. I was like, yeah, you know, bro, I just, personally, I just think I've kind of changed, you know? Maybe I've changed. And he goes, oh, yeah, you changed. Almost like a negative. You changed, man. Somebody say, press on. Press forward. When he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things with our head. Forgetting means to lose out of mind. There's some things that the Holy Ghost will show Steve to forget about. Just block that out of your mind, son. That's yesterday's news. Move on. Hallelujah. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, right? Gold and silver are, another way to say that is mature. Clay and wood, immature. And how many know it doesn't have anything to do with how long I've been a Christian or I've been saved? There's some people that got born again a couple months ago and are already out maturing someone that's been all their life because they just refuse to grow up. Hallelujah, right? Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Somebody say, this mind, this mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Here we go. Let us be of the same mind. Let us be of the same mind. In other words, Paul isn't saying, don't try this at home because I'm Paul. You know, you just, all you need to say is Paul. And you know who you're talking about. So this is not for you. Oh, no, he's saying, let us all be of this same mind. How do you do it? Stay in Christ Jesus. It's a daily choice. A daily decision. And sometimes a moment-by-moment choice. If you're going through something, especially, then it's even a moment-by-moment choice. Find extra time to be with Jesus. Turn off the noise, turn off the television, turn off the sports, turn off the worries and the fears, turn the word on, and draw nigh to him, closer to him. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Let's all stand up and we'll commit this time to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Just tell him again. Just tell him that you commit your all to him. Just say, Father, I commit my all to you. Cleanse me from anything in my past, any wood and clay tendencies in my character, whatever. I lay that aside. And I choose to find my purpose in you and you alone. Hallelujah. That's the heart our Heavenly Father is looking for. That's the mindset of a champion. And it takes discipline. It's a decision. Day after day, year after year, a closer walk with Him. And really the beauty of it all is that in those times where we have drifted, wandered, He never left us. He's not looking at us angry and judgmental and critical. He's looking at us like, come on back, son, daughter. Just turn around and come on back this way. Follow me this way. Hallelujah. Just say this prayer for me. Say, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior over every area of my life. I give you my mind, my thoughts, things I meditate on, things that bother me, things that worry me, things that stir up bad memories. I bring those to you today, and I declare that I am forgetting those things. I declare them judged and cut off and burned up like stubble before you. And I will ever keep in mind my oneness with you, one moment at a time every day. And I believe that, church, when you're coming into, a lot of people I think don't read the Bible much because they feel like it, every time they open it, it's judging them. But I believe that you, when you open the Bible to read it, the Holy Spirit is going to breathe on it and give you fresh insight. You won't see condemnation. You won't see areas that you're missing it. You won't see areas of failure. You won't hear accusations and judgment over your own life, but you'll hear a loving Father just drawing you closer to Him. You'll hear a loving Heavenly Father just guiding you closer along His side. For I think He would remind us that the devil is the one that's been judged. The curse and the enemy. But you're my son, you're my daughter. Come closer. You have no need to put distance between us. For I am your Father and I love you. So come closer to me, He would say. Look for times in your day to think of me, even to talk about me, to share me. Times where you're driving somewhere, turn off the noise and turn on the Word. Turn on some worship. Let's fellowship together. I just hear Him saying, just draw near. Draw near to me. Because I'm waiting for you. Hallelujah. And in me, He reminds us, is all our purpose. For every phase of life. Oh, Oh, we praise you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.